The following program was previously recorded and is sponsored by Danny Yamashiro Ministries. This is 99.5 The Word.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. How does a girl who grew up in Uganda under the dictatorship of Idi Amin become a Christian lawyer? How did she survive the assassination of her father and being tormented by demons as a child? This is the story of Jahan Burns. It's a story of deliverance from darkness and freedom in Jesus Christ. We pause here at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life program. Well, dear friend, it's to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. For you to know, dear friend, that there is always hope in Jesus. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, at this very moment, there is always hope in Jesus. In Jesus, who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, yes, but 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has delivered and touched and has empowered Jahan Burns, is reaching out to you. Would you open your heart to Christ? Will you turn over your burdens to him? Will you repent of your sins, turn from your way, and turn to God's way? Would you do that? You know, that's our prayer. That's our prayer. Jahan Burns is an attorney and the chief operating officer of the two sister Christian organizations, JH Israel and U.S. Israel Education Association, USIEA. Jahan migrated from Africa to England and finally to the U.S. She practiced law at the law firm Cerruti and Permut in Birmingham, Alabama, until the Lord called her to serve him in ministry. She's married to Bob Burns, and they have two children. Jahan, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. I'm privileged to be hosted by you. Thank you.
An honor to have you. I mentioned you grew up in Uganda. Tell us more. Where in Uganda, where did you grow up, and what was that like?
Okay. Oh, thank you, Danny. I was born in Uganda, in the capital city of Kampala, and I grew up there until I lived there and went to school there, and left when I was about 23, 24, and moved to England. What was it like? It's a third world country, and it was a very poor country, still is a very poor country, with very little opportunities. Uganda has many tribes, over 50 tribes, and I was born into the largest tribe called the Baganda, the Kingdom of Buganda, from which Uganda gets its name. So my tribe inhabited the capital city, and so it was, I had opportunity to go to the good schools, which were located in the capital. Life was pretty safe when I was growing up. I did a lot of walking, I was curious as a child and just learned a lot. But it also exposed me to the gospel because Uganda started experiencing revival in the 90s. And that revival started out in the capital city of Kampala. So it was great to be exposed to the gospel and hear the gospel every day in my teens. And I'm very grateful for that because when I see America and how America is, you know, it's totally different. You know, the exposure that a young person will have to the gospel here is quite different from the opportunity I had growing up.
Who would you say influenced you most, Jahan, in your growing up years?
Danny, I would say it was my parents. You know, my dad was a high-ranking military person that had his own army, and he was pretty powerful, pretty popular. But I think I learned, even as a young child, what it meant to be courageous, because I was born during the Civil War, you know, 1979, and my earliest memories were memories of war. And I saw, even at that young age, my father, you know, just being courageous, saving villages, lots of, you know, people from death. And so I just always grew up with that sense of pride, even though my dad ended up, you know, he was assassinated pretty early. Just growing up hearing, you know, meeting people that he had saved just always gave me a sense of understanding that I have a higher duty to carry on his legacy, you know, to live a life that is responsible for working towards the welfare of others. My mom was, she was widowed quite young. And so you think about it in the 80s. My father died in 1986. In the 80s when, you know, girls and women were still considered as chattels, you know, property. And the whole concept of being a girl, you know, you weren't as valuable as being a boy. But my mom was such a firm believer in education, and she was going to educate us at all costs. So with my father's death and losing everything, she worked so hard. You know, she's the most hardworking person that I ever knew, you know, and she worked even while not succeeding and still never gave up. And I think that is a thing that has helped me to be resilient, you know, through different phases of life, because life has been definitely very difficult. But I saw my mother, you know, get hit and fall down and get up, get hit and fall down and get up. You know, the Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, but they get up. My mom, fell hundreds and hundreds of times, and she always got up. And I think if I'm to pinpoint anyone that had the greatest influence on me, it would be my mother. The strength, the courage, and the resilience that she showed, you know, throughout the years as a widow, and a poor widow at that. Yeah.
Well, courage and resilience are two very powerful words that you've experienced in your mother. Of course, you've seen it in your father, and the impact of his life on so many people that were rescued because of him. But the influence of your mother seems to continue to permeate as you reflect back on what you watched, what you saw. Take us on your journey of faith, Jahan. How did you become a Christian?
Yes, thank you, Danny. So my mother came from a Muslim home. You know, she was a daughter of a Muslim man that was a chief in, you know, in his day, and a polygamous family. My dad, on the other hand, came from a Christian family, Anglican, but didn't really know Jesus the way we know Jesus, you know, and so he, by religion, if you would say he had a religion, it was more that he was a traditionalist, African culture, very steeped in witchcraft. He came from a small division of the royal family that, you know, that was really steeped in witchcraft. So I was baptized as a child, you know, by sprinkling, but we never really went to church. But I do remember that because of the war and how tragic and traumatic it was, I had this spiritual hunger within me to know God. And I think Africans by nature Ugandans, I'll speak for Ugandans. Ugandans, my teacher, we talk about God in the concept of God created the world, and there's a God of justice. But, you know, so I knew just those abstract concepts, but never really, I'd never come across a person that really knew Jesus very well. But I do know that because of the trauma of the time, of the war, I would pray a lot. For example, our house was bombed and my mom ran into exile and my dad ended up being forced into guerrilla warfare. And I was maybe 5.5 to 6. And it's when I really began to understand that that was horrible and terrible and I needed to pray. So fast forward, you know, my father was assassinated in 1986. And I remember getting the news, you know, on the radio with the people that assassinated him tipped the media. And that's how we first heard about it on the news. So the confusion that we felt, the pain, but as I was trying to process all that and, you know, processing a full military funeral with thousands of people, you know, crying and wailing and you know, singing the Christian hymns, there was a song they sang during my father's funeral. And that song said, I'm so glad Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, how he loved me and how he comforted me. Now, Danny, I didn't know the Lord. I'd been to church once, but they sang this particular song and it stirred me in a way that nothing else could stir me or touch me because, you see, I'd gone into a state of shock. They brought my father's corpse, you know, 2 weeks after death and he was unrecognizable. And so I just refused to accept that that was my dad. And for years, I just lived in denial. And I thought that one day he would show up and he'd be like, surprise, that was someone else. But, you know, throughout my life, I would go through very, very traumatic, difficult circumstances and situations because after my father was, you know, killed a few years after that, my mother converted us to Islam. So my dad died when I was about 6.5, and I became a Muslim at about 9, 10 years old. But I do remember that every time I would go through something super traumatic, that song would come back to me, but I didn't know what it meant because now I was a practicing Muslim. And then we went through a period of just going deep into witchcraft because a person advised my mom and told her, you know, your dead husband can help you figure it out. I would take you to a spiritist who will help you connect with your dead husband. And that introduced us to demons. So I went... Yes.
As you're explaining this, I am thinking about someone who might be listening who, when you mention witchcraft, when you start talking about the dead or the dead protecting you, this may be both stirring up in someone, bringing up a question for someone else, or maybe it is the experience of someone that we're talking to right now. And the Lord has brought you here to address through experience this very, very important subject. Because as you know very well, we live in a physical world, but there are spiritual forces and realities that we might not be able to see or touch, or maybe we are. But we certainly see the impact of that. When we come back, John, let's go further. You've got us, I mean, I'm on the edge of my seat. We've got to hear more of what you experience, especially the deliverance. But we want you to go into, I want to hear how deep into darkness you went, what you experienced. What was it like when you went to sleep? What were you thinking? You're listening to Jahan Burns. Jahan Burns, her father was assassinated. She was 6.5 years old, raised a Christian up to that point, then converted to Islam by the age of 9 and 10. But you've got to stay with us because of what she's going to share when we come back. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, we talk about witchcraft, we talk about darkness, we talk about dreams, we talk about death. What do we do with these things when we experience moments that are hard to describe? Perhaps you've experienced something like what Jahan Burns experienced, or maybe you could relate to just a part of it, especially as she describes things further. Well, there is always hope for you because we represent the Lord of light and glory and hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. If you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of the last segment. Look, you can get this program in its entirety. It's a gift for you. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Share it with a family member or friend. If you want to send a prayer request to Jahan Burns, she is a woman of prayer. She and her prayer team are dedicated to pray. You can reach out to them and send your request to 4 Psalm 91, number 4, Psalm 91 at gmail.com. Again, number 4, Psalm 91 at gmail.com. Jahan, tell us more. Witchcraft, the protection of your dead father, you're told. Now, what went on after you heard those things?
Right. So, Danny, I want to point out that, you know, man is influenced by two powers. You're either influenced by the power of God or by the power of Satan. The power of God represents the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. And the power of Satan is what is represented by the darkness. And you know, a person, the decisions you make, whether to serve the Lord or to serve the evil one, and those things, whether you knowingly or unknowingly, you know, choose, you're going to be influenced by one of those powers. And so for us, we were, the decision that my mother made, you know, unknowingly exposed us to the power of Satan, the kingdom of darkness. you know, she was invited to go to a spiritist to contact the spirit of her dead husband. And when she went and had that contact and experience, really, she did not talk to the spirit of her dead husband. She talked to an agent of Satan, a demonic spirit that led our lives to this downward spiral. The Bible is very, very clear. You know, when God called the Israelites and he gave them the law, one of the things he mentioned was, do not contact the spirits of the dead. Why? He knew that his enemy, the devil, was who was in charge of spiritists and mediums and sorcerers and magic. You know, there are practices in the Bible that God forbade because he knew that those powers would destroy his people. And the Bible clearly says in the New Testament that for this reason was the Son of God manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And you see that when Jesus appears, he has a unique ministry that no one else in the Old Testament had. And that was the power to destroy demonic spirits and strongholds and their work in people's lives. And as a result, as he was leaving to go to heaven, he gave his disciples that same power because he knew that, you know, demonic forces are alive today and they work actively to destroy people, whether they know it or don't know it. So that's what happened to us, Danny, is that demons became manifest in our lives, and I began to be plagued by nightmares, and I became so afraid that I could not function. I could not sleep, and I became hateful, and I became bitter, I became angry, and I wanted to be good. I wanted to be different, but I could not. I was tortured. Things would appear. I would see, you know, creatures appear before me at night. I would wake and feel like someone was in the bed next to me breathing. And you know, when all these things were happening to me, I thought I was the only person experiencing these things. And so I could not share with anyone because I thought people were going to think I am, you know, insane or bizarre or weird. But the truth is, when I finally found Jesus, I found that so many people were oppressed that way, you know? So,
well, you said until you found Jesus, and the reason why I want to get to that is because someone might be experiencing the same things that you're describing. I mean, right now they might be going through some of those things. So someone else might be listening and thinking, well, we haven't heard about these things in a long time, or I've never heard anyone talk about these things. But how did this relate to your, John, you're finding Christ?
Right. Okay. So as I continued to struggle so much, you know, I ended up going to a British missionary boarding school, you know, the boarding school that was started by British missionaries. So I had a mixture of, you know, Ugandan teachers and British missionaries. And it was an Anglican school. And it was very evident to some of the girls that knew the Lord that I was struggling because I had so much, you know, uncontrollable rage and anger issues. But also it was that the Lord began to highlight to them that I needed prayer. And so people began to present the gospel to me, but I would not receive it. You know, I was Muslim. And then I thought, you know, the gospel is for people who are weak. But also, Danny, the truth was I was terribly insecure. I thought that if people really knew how deep I was struggling, they would not accept me. They would not love me. You know, I would be an outcast. And there was a girl in particular that tried very hard to reach out to me with the gospel, and I insulted her and I was mean to her. But this girl was really persistent until it almost, you know, kind of broke me, and I began to study her. But because I had this fear, there was a day that I was by myself. And all the girls had gone for prayers. And I suddenly sensed a very evil presence around me. And I felt like I was suffocating, that I was going to die, you know. And, you know, if you haven't experienced that, you might think that that's irrational. But the truth is, a person that's going through panic attacks, if that's what you want to call it, you know, a demonic attack, it's real to them. And I remember just thinking, I'm going to die. I don't know what to do. What do I do? And I felt instinctively that I needed to run. And I began to run uphill. You know, my dorm room was at the bottom of a hill, and I began to run in the dark. And I didn't know where I was going. I was crying. I was crying hysterically because I was so afraid of this evil presence around me. And when I stopped running, I was right outside the chapel door. And I didn't want to go in because I was Muslim, but I thought, I'm too afraid and I don't have any options. So I snuck in, you know, sneaked in from the back. And they noticed that I had come in. And I sat for a few minutes, and then I stood up to walk outside because I was feeling really uncomfortable. I felt like there were voices in my head just telling me, get out, everyone hates you. You know, it felt like my head was exploding, really. So I walked out, and when I walked out, our girl followed me, you know, and she said, we want you to come back in. We've been praying for you for 2 years. We've been praying every weekend for you to come to church with us. And it touched me, but I said, you know, I don't want to come back in. She said, are you afraid? And Danny, that was the first time, I don't know, something within me just broke, and I said, I have so much fear. And she said, well, fear is not of the Lord. And she said, you need to sleep with your Bible. It's going to help you. You know, so think about, we're teenagers. But I thought, well, if that's going to help, I'm going to try it. I was desperate, you see. So I ran back to my dorm room, and I got that Bible, because when a missionary school, everyone was given a Bible. And I jump into my bed, and I hold that Bible to my chest, just willing myself to go to sleep. Go to sleep. And all of a sudden, I would describe it now as a thought, but it was such a crystal clear thought that posed a question to me, and I knew it wasn't my thoughts or my voice, but it asked me a question, and it said, "Are you going to go to sleep with this book, and you don't even know what it says? You know, if you may as well sleep with your history textbook," and it made such perfect sense. Like, what's so different about this Bible? Why should it be different from my math textbook or my English textbook? But I didn't know how to read the Bible. So I just flipped it open. And when it fell open, it fell open to Psalm 91. So now you have to give God the credit, because it was so genius that he would open that Bible to exactly what I needed. When you read Psalm 91, it's a psalm of protection. It is a psalm of deliverance. It's a psalm that addresses, you know, angelic help. It addresses sickness, plagues, and disease, and how to overcome those things, and how God gives you power to trample on serpents and scorpions, lions and adders and cobras. You must understand, some of my demonic manifestations and visitations came in the form of snakes attacking me, lions attacking me, and I could not believe. The words just jumped off the page. It was as if they jumped off the page and hurt me, because for the first time in my life, I was reading a text that showed me that there is a God that is stronger than what I know. Because my reality was, these demons were so strong, and they could kill me anytime. They could torture me anytime. They would appear at night while I was in a deep sleep, and I would wake up choking. I would, you know, scream so loud, and I would feel like nothing's coming out. And I would wake up in the morning, and I had bite marks, those scratch marks. And this is real. You know, this stuff is real. People experience it. And that's why some people even end up in mental institutions. I'm not saying that every person in a mental hospital has demons, but there are a lot of people in mental hospitals that have demonic problems that no one knew about.
You're listening to Jahan Burns. Jahan is an attorney and the chief operating officer of two sister Christian organizations, JH Israel and U.S. Israel Education Association. Her story is replete with trials, tragedies, and triumphs. Triumphs, yes. When we come back, you're going to hear more from her as she describes her journey to faith in Christ. Psalm 91 is a big, big part of her life. And how, and I love the way you said this, John, the words of Psalm 91 jumped off the page and hugged me. There she was. A girl frightened, a girl in pain, a girl enraged at a Christian school. So desperate, she ran uphill, ended up at the chapel. Her friends saw her sneak in. They'd been praying for her for 2 years that she would come. And the Spirit of God opened the book, Psalm 91, just for her. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Yamashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Yes, Jahan Byrne's story is indeed one of deliverance, and hope. Her father was an Israeli-trained commando who served his country, Uganda, until he was assassinated in 1986. Following his death, Jahan and her family became destitute. They were dependent on miracles to survive. Jahan was raised as a Muslim until her dramatic conversion to Christianity. You can find out more about Jahan. Just reach out to her and her prayer team. They will pray for you. Number four, Psalm 91, for Psalm 91 at gmail.com. Again, for Psalm 91. At gmail.com. Jahan, take us further on your journey. You're there with the Bible in your bed. You're reading Psalm 91. You feel like the words jumped off the page and hugged you. Take us further.
Okay. So I read that psalm twice, and then I fell into a deep sleep. When I woke up, you know, I woke up with someone roughly shaking me awake, and I thought I was having another attack. But I opened my eyes, and it's morning, and the sunlight is streaming in through the window, and my Bible was still laying open on my chest. That's how deep of a sleep I had. And I remember holding the Bible up and being in total shock and awe, and I told myself, I want to read everything that's in this book. Because you see, Danny, that was the first time in years that I went whole night sleep without having any issues, without having any attacks, you know. And so I skipped class. And for 3 straight days, I was reading the Bible. We had a field of grass where we played hockey. I went and I sat in the grass and I leaned against a huge tree trunk and I began from the book of Genesis, and the Lord just met me there. And everything I read was so alive. I read until I could not see anymore. And then I went back the next day, and then I went back the third day. And by noon of the third day, I had finished the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And I remember standing up and thinking, this God of the Bible is God, and I have to give my life to him. So understand, it's not like I had understood everything I read, but it was alive. It was the most alive, gripping thing I had ever read. And so I walked into the chapel and I knelt down. I didn't even know how to give my life to God because I didn't know anything, you know. And so I just told God, I just had an honest conversation with him. I said, God of the Bible, I have read your book and I know it's real. And I want to give my life to you. I said, the deepest need I have is I have so much darkness, so much pain, you know, confusion. If you will take these things away from me, I will serve you for the rest of my life. And the moment I finished saying that prayer, I felt like a strange warmth travel over my body until it got to my chest. It started all the way from my feet until it got to my chest. And I remember feeling like I had a melting sensation, like there was a big block of ice in my chest that was just melting this warmth that was all over my body. And I began to cry. But the interesting thing was I wasn't unhappy, you know, but I was crying. And I saw all these flashbacks from my life, all the pain and the trauma and the abuse. And it was just, you know, just passing before my eyes. And I was crying. But when I finished crying, when the tears finally stopped, I felt free. I felt light. And then the surprising thing was I felt clean. And no one had ever told me I was dirty. And I never felt dirty before. But suddenly I had the sensation that I had been washed. And I had been washed clean. And I remember standing up and going outside and looking into the full sun and looking at everything around me, and everything looked new. I remember looking at the grass and the flowers, and they were so vibrant. I saw a girl walking towards me that I absolutely used to despise. And I felt this strange stirring in my heart, and I walked towards her and I opened my arms up to her and I hugged her and I told her, I love you. And she was like, ah! She was so shocked. She dropped her book. She was like, what happened to you? I said, I found God. You know, think about it, Danny. No one had ever told me I love you. I had never told anyone I love you in my life. We didn't speak like that when I was growing up. You know, our parents loved us, but they just didn't speak like that. And so all of a sudden, I'm different. You know, and the missionaries call me and they ask me, what happened to you? And I told them, I read the Bible and I told God to come into my life. So they explained the whole gospel to me. And I invite Jesus into my heart, and let me tell you, it totally transformed my life. I began to experience a power that I'd never known was possible over darkness, over nightmares, over demons, and I began to know the power in the name of Jesus. That when these attacks came and I used the name of Jesus, they fled. These demons that were in the form of snakes and lions, they fled. And I began to know that the Bible had real power to heal me and to make me whole.
John, someone is listening right now. They've experienced some of what you're talking about, or what you described was your experience. But they don't, they're on the edge of their seat because they're hoping that there's an answer for them. Maybe some deliverance for them. What would you say to someone? What would you believe the Lord would have you say to someone right now who is at that place and they're listening to what you're saying? at this very moment. Speak to them.
Well, thank you, Danny. There is a great promise in the Bible for anyone that's struggling like I was struggling.
Yes.
It's a Bible verse that says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that word saved is also the same word for delivered. Whoever, that promise is for whoever will call on the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord, shall be saved, shall be delivered, shall be set free. There is no other name in heaven or earth through which we can be saved and delivered from pain, from demonic darkness, from sin, like the name of Jesus. That would be my encouragement to you. Call on the name of Jesus. He is the most powerful, and he loves you, and he wants you free, and he's going to do it if you call on his name.
John, lead our dear friend who is listening at this moment. God knows where they are.
Yes.
Would you lead them in a prayer? Take them deeper in this moment.
Yes. So let's pray. Let's invite the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for every listener that's listening to this program. God, we thank you that you love them and that you died on the cross for them. We invite you to come into each heart right now to forgive them of their sins and cleanse them, oh God. We invite your miracle-working power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to come and dwell within them. The Bible says that you came to set us free. You came to set the captive free, that whoever calls on the name of Jesus will be delivered. Lord, we stand and we call on your name, and we say that you are able to save and deliver, that on the cross you died for them. There was a divine exchange that happened on the cross, that you took their shame to give them honor. You took their death to give them life. You took their pain and their sorrow to give them joy. And so today, every listener that's listening, reach out to Jesus right now and take his life. Take the goodness that he has accomplished for you on the cross. Call to him, and he is waiting with arms open wide. And so we thank you, Jesus. We surrender our lives to you, and we ask you to come in as Lord and Savior and save us, oh God, and take residence within each and every one of us and cause us to be victorious. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The name of Jesus. Thank you, Jahan. Thank you for leading our dear ones in prayer. The Lord has sent you to be with us in this moment, for them, to touch them, for the Lord to, well, in a way, like you said, the words jumped off the page and hugged me, for them to feel the touch of God at this moment, the touch of Jesus. Jahan, when we come back in our final segment, the tenderness of the moment, let's continue in this spirit of surrender to God and open-heartedness to the Lord, as we have so led our dear friends. When we come back from our break, we'll talk more with Jahan as she surrendered her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord put a desire in her heart, which eventually led to her becoming a lawyer. She'll share more with us. This is part one of a two-part feature with Jahan Burns. She'll share how the Lord led her to become a lawyer that led to the work that she's doing today. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Now, I want you to get this email address. It's the number 4Psalm91@gmail.com. Maybe you said a prayer. You prayed with Jahan and her leading you in prayer. Your heart was open and the Lord is working in you, moving in your heart in a very tender and powerful way. You can reach out to her and let her know what the Lord has been doing. Maybe you have a prayer request, maybe some more specifics. Maybe some questions to ask for Psalm91@gmail.com. If you'd like to get in touch with me, that's easy, Danny@thegoodlifehawaii.com. We always count it a privilege to hear from you, dear friend. Jahan, as the Lord has used you, as you share your story, as you've grown in your faith, at what point did the Lord begin to speak to you about becoming a lawyer?
So, Danny, when I was about 17, you know, we have, Uganda having been a British colony, we have the British system of education. When I was about, from about 16 to 17, as I was preparing for college, my mother and I began to have discussions about what does the future look like from a career perspective. I wanted to be a writer, but my mom was a very intuitive person and very prayerful. And she came to me and said very strongly, she said, you're to become an attorney. You're to go to law school. And I happened to be a very good student as well, one of the top students in my country, actually. And so she's the one that really gently and sometimes emphatically pushed me to move in that direction. And it's a choice that you had to make. And then once you made that choice, you actually had to take a national level exam and get certain grades that were high enough for you to qualify for law school. So I did. I came in, you know, among the top students, and I ended up getting a full ride, a scholarship to law school in Uganda. Up to this point, the president of Uganda had been paying for my education in recognition for everything my father had done for the country. So when I got a full ride scholarship to law school, then he was off the hook. And that's how I went to law school the first time in Uganda. And then when I moved to the U.S., I decided voluntarily on my own accord to go back to law school here in Alabama and then went into private practice.
When you studied the law and became a lawyer,
yes.
Going back to your mother's intuition, what did you feel?
Well, I think, you know, in our culture, we put a lot of stock in what our parents say. We have such a culture of honor towards our parents. And I had seen my mother struggle so hard. And my mother had dropped out of school, so she didn't have a college education. And so she raised us with that mindset of education is everything. So if you are on the art side of the aisle, you know, law and being an attorney was the highest, you know, occupation you could have. On the science aisle things, being a doctor was the highest that you could achieve. And I was really an arts mind. And so she was like, you're going to go for the best. And this is the best. And you have the mind and the will to do it. And so I trusted her because she'd always guided me, you know, academically very well. And also you just didn't say no to your mom, you know, you just didn't say no to your parents, because the truth is almost always your parent was making the decision that was best for you in your best interest.
If someone is contemplating next steps in their life, in the midst of a struggle that they're going through. So we have a struggle right now, mm-hmm. and yet hoping for a better tomorrow. What would you say to that person?
So I would say, you know, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul writes and he says, pray about everything. You know, prayer is key to everything. If you want to succeed, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't just lean on your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge the Lord, and he will direct your path. That's always number one. You pray and trust the Lord to lead you and guide you because he wants to. Number two is to work hard. There are people that pray but don't work hard. You know, work hard at whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. And then three is have a good attitude. Attitude is everything. You know, if you have a good attitude and work hard and pray hard, you're going to succeed. You know, I don't think there's another formula for success like those three things I have mentioned. You may go through the toughest of times, but you will eventually make it. You will eventually succeed. I've seen it happen in my life. I've seen it happen to, you know, very successful people I know, that they have trusted God, they have prayed, they have worked hard, and they have kept a good, positive attitude.
Jahan, how many years, with those encouraging words that you just shared, how many years did you practice law with Cerruti and Permit in Birmingham, Alabama?
So I joined them in 2008, and I worked as a paralegal for the first 3 years, 3 or 4 years. And then I practiced law with them for 8 years. And Danny, you think about it. I joined them as a paralegal. I came from Africa with an African law degree. I was working with attorneys that were from Ivy League schools. I was probably the least likely candidate to get an offer from that law firm. It's one of the most prestigious law firms in Alabama. But it's those three things that I mentioned. Pray, work hard, have a good attitude, and it opens doors that only God could orchestrate.
Will you pray again, please, for our listener who we're speaking to in a moment of transition? You pray for a blessing over this dear friend.
So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to pray. I want to pray for that person out there, that person listening to me, that is in that moment of transition, and they don't know what to do, and they don't know if they can even hear from you. I want to pray, Father, that you will speak clearly to them, that you, the Bible says, you draw us to yourself with loving kindness, and that you want to lead us and guide us along the right and the best path for our life. So I pray that you will let them know and assure them that you have the best path for their life and that you're going to lead them to it and that they will come to you with complete trust. I pray for the peace of God that surpasses their own understanding to be with them, to flood their hearts with joy and peace. I pray for you to enlighten their mind, to flood their mind with light, that they know what the will of God is and that they take it. And God, I pray that you protect them from the enemy and from the evil one. You know, all the doubts and the fears and the anxieties of the moment that they are going through, we ask that you watch over them and protect them. And you encourage them, God, in every situation. God, may they collide with faith. May they collide. May they run into your embrace where they are loved, they're encouraged, and they're filled with hope. And so, God, we just speak hope into their lives. Because the Bible says without hope, yes, our hearts are sick. So put hope in them to know that, you know, there is a better tomorrow. And that today may look confusing, but you're working behind the scenes. And they can put their hand in your hand. And you will lead them to the best course, the best path for their life. So I bless them today to walk, yes, in the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no trouble. I bless them, oh God, to get promoted in every way, because promotion ultimately comes from you. And so, God, I just thank you that you want the best for them and you're going to lead them to what is best. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jahan, for your heart, your prayer, your example for our listener. What a timely moment and a touch from the Lord. Jahan Burns, the Chief Operating Officer of JH Israel and U.S. Israel Education Association. Jahan, we need to have you come back to do part two so we can learn about this great work that you're doing to raise up leaders in Israel through the Israel-American partnership there in Ariel in Israel, as well as the education component as they tie in together. You can explain that further for us. You can, dear friend, remember forpsalm91@gmail.com. Jahan, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Danny. It was such an honor, and I look forward to coming back.
Resilient words from Jahan Burns. Number 4, psalm91@gmail.com. Dear friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you, even as Jahan has. And if you haven't done so, look, this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a video set for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers, your support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Donate. And I thank you in advance. Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Jahan Burns for psalm91@gmail.com. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.